Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad.
And Steve.
There you go. Your excitement is overwhelming, Mr. Doyle. Your energy and positivity just oozing through the microphones.
Oozing today.
Oozing today.
Just a radiating beam of sunshine.
You are. That's one word we can use for you is a ray of sunshine. You bet. So, Mr. Doyle, this episode's airing here sometime in early November. We're in that November 1st, 2nd. So we just had Halloween, trick-or-treats over, all the fun things. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. Christmas is coming. New Year's is coming. And yet we are still way behind our 2024 goals.
Man. Saying your SOL.
How many organizations are having that conversation? How many organizations are having that conversation on Monday next week when they finally do their review and go, oh, we got a problem.
Oh, you're SOL. But are you? Right? Most people are going, well, how are we gonna reset? How are we gonna hit this? How are we gonna hit these numbers? They start asking people for suggestions, they realize that, hey, half the office is out the rest of the year in various weeks. Interesting. Interesting dilemma that we're now talking about at the beginning of November.
Correct. And I watched it happen in my corporate career. I see it happen with my clients. And, you know, we try to keep them focused throughout the rest of the year on target, on here we go. But inevitably, there's always the one thing that shows up no matter what. It goes, oh, we got to get this done because customer A calls or employee B is gone, going on vacation for, you know, the end of the year for 3 weeks or whatever it might be because we're not carrying any over, change this policy or did whatever. What are some of the things that come Monday morning a business owner can bring his team, his or her team, into the conference room or into the office area or wherever it is, the job site, lunch, breakfast, to get the team focused and ready to go? What are some of the strategies that we can give people to re-energize and refocus versus the doomsday press?
Yeah, for me, when we're in those scenarios, I'm always more of the being more frank and more blunt, but not in a doomsday approach standpoint. It's more of, hey, we have this goal and we need some suggestions, some creative ways of how we can actually hit this. This is where we are. This is where we need to be. Here's the gap. We have 45 days, roughly, to hit this, knowing that there's holidays, there's vacation coming into play. We have about 45 days that we need to hit this. So what are some things that we can do? The first question, I always ask that first question is, let's think outside the box, right? Because the traditional methods always bound us by these time constraints, right? And we don't want to necessarily be bound by those time constraints.
Correct. So one of the things as you go through that brainstorming opportunity, and this is really difficult to do unless you've got a really good leader who can facilitate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to suggest that possibly you don't have a leader facilitate those conversations. Correct. Or even that the leader might not even be in the room, that you let the team come up with a solution. But the one thing that you can't do is you can't judge the idea as good or bad. You just need to take it. And I just recently had completed some training on my own here. And the one thing I got out of that piece of it was when you do that and you don't judge, every idea has got 10% of something in it that will work. Mm-hmm. If you just take the 10% that'll work and you can stitch it together and do whatever, and all of a sudden you got some, you're like, wow, how did we come up with this? Because you didn't judge the opportunity, you found what will work in that suggestion versus why the suggestion won't work.
Yep.
And stitch it together. So.
Yeah. One of the things that I found adding into it came from a surprising source, actually improv. So a lot of times from the brainstorming side, right, we kind of chuckle, right? But when we do the brainstorming, it's really hard to kind of put those emotions aside to say, yeah, there's no bad ideas, because everybody's like right there. Yes, but. And every time we use the word but in those scenarios, it comes out negative. It basically is telling us, no, we can't do this. So rather than use the word but, what I learned in improv, use the word and. Yes, and. The other component with the improv is we're always trying to make the team look good, make the other players in improv look good. It's never about us trying to be that shining star, because we have a gap. As a team, we have a gap. How can we hit these numbers or hit whatever the target is as a team? Because it's really the only way we're going to solve it. So if we can solve it as a team and help lift each other up, it amplifies everything we're going to do. And now we have some very creative ways of how we can do it. Now, again, we're probably going to have to weed out, okay, is this really a good tangible idea that we can actually go run with? Yeah, it may or may not be. We'll get to that point. But how can we take these ideas and make them better? And we try to employ the yes and philosophy when we get into those scenarios.
Yes, and purple monkeys might not be a good idea, and blue bulldozers could be a better idea.
Yes. And taking Friday off would be amazing.
You take every Friday off, Mr. Doyle, to do this. We do this on Fridays because we have that flexibility. And when I share with people that want to be guests on the show and or other podcasters, they're like, you just record on, that's it? That's the only time you guys record?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you make that work? Like, well, do we just put it out there, and if we make it works for them, great. If it doesn't work, it doesn't. Instead of this, fit it in, do it wherever, we can come in with the appropriate mindset, so to speak, to provide this great content to our tens of listeners, our tens of listeners, as you have told us over and over again. The other part that I'm going to, after you get done through your brainstorming and finding the ideas,
yeah,
it's really creating the opportunity for the accountability of who's going to do what along the way. And having agendas, having somebody control the narrative and control what's going on and document that Sally's going to go get the purple monkeys, Johnny's going to go get the bulldozers, Steve's going to go and buy donuts, you know, whatever that's going to look like. We know who's doing what and when it's going to be due. And staying focused and using that time effectively versus bitching and moaning about, well, we're never going to make the target. You got to sit down and relax. And if the target is, so I don't know if you remember Andy Wines on the show way back, early season one, first year, you know, he's got his books, his book of, you know, Words Fucking Matter. And one of the things that his big story is, did anybody die?
No, right.
Right.
No, they didn't.
Nobody's likely going to die from you not achieving the goal. So let's make sure we do everything we can to make sure we do what we can to achieve the goal. But it's not life and death in most scenarios.
Right.
And if you put forth all the effort and you're doing all the right things and you're giving that difference of opinions and you're creating collaboration and you're doing all, you're going to achieve it. Whether it's December 31st or January 12th, does it really matter?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. Just because we turn the calendar page doesn't mean that we go back to zero all the time. And that's going to be my other suggestion for folks, is use a run rate for your targets. And what I mean by run rate is do your math as to, if you're trying to hit an annual sales goal, you need to be at a run rate of X. If it's $1 million a year, you need to be at a run rate of $83,000 a month. Cool.
Right.
Like, am I above or below that target to go through there, instead of saying, hey, we ended the year, we're at zero, and January 2nd is our first dollar. It is so demoralizing and so upsetting and just
right.
doesn't really bring a whole lot of morale to people when you start setting your goals and objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to urge you to work on that run rate scenario.
Yeah. One of the other things I actually like about having a short time to achieve whatever the gap is everyone becomes very focused.
Correct.
On achieving that. And that's the other thing to keep in mind is on the focus component is really making sure that we're focused on the main thing. Because sometimes when we set these annual goals and these targets, usually there's five or six components in it. And really of those five or six components,
if you're lucky, there's only five or six.
Yes. Well, the point I'm trying to make is the 80% of it is a lot of busy work. 20% is really where you're going to reap the most rewards. So we can narrow it down and really focus on that one thing to reap those 20, that the majority of the reward is in that being singular focused and focusing in a short period of time. Let's kind of strip away every, the other things that we quote unquote have to do. Because we've deemed it a priority, we're going to re-level set the priority to focus on what is that one thing that we have to complete within the next 45 days.
Correct. And whether you want to take a crash course and go through and use some of the tools out of EOS or use some of the tools out of 10-week year or 12-week year, mm-hmm. The 4-day work week or 4-week year, whatever those things are, right. There's tools everywhere to use. Leverage your team to find those tools, to use those tools, to try something different. Because if they believe it and it works for them, let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you can find innovation. This is where you can find opportunity. This is where you find and stumble across 3M post-it notes.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. it was an accident. It wasn't supposed to be there. They were behind and you had a secretary that liked it. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, we could do this and change our whole business model. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. So don't look at it as an opportunity. Don't look at it as the holy shit, we're going to get all going to get fired.
Right. You actually just brought up a really good point of bringing somebody else in that might not necessarily know all the inner workings, but having them come in to listen in on what the brainstorming suggestions are, because again, they may be the one that has that great idea to help figure out what it is that's going to solve the gap, all because they right. look at it differently. They heard it differently. Yeah. They see it differently.
Having a shop floor guy come into a sales meeting, as much as it may be awkward and really weird, that shop floor guy might give you the key that you never thought of as the key feature to go win the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now you're talking yeah. through it differently and you're talking through it with somebody that's building the product, knows the product, understands its features and benefits, et cetera. And it might not be the design engineer. It could be the guy actually making the part. And that client may care about the things that the shop guy understands and knows.
Right. Which is, it's actually refreshing when you bring in a fresh set of eyes at crunch at that 11th hour, that crunch time sometimes.
And so everybody needs to be open to it. And everybody yeah. needs to put their ego at the door.
Right. Yeah. Cause like, so one of my clients right now, they brought in a new employee and they were a little hesitant because they're like, hey, how are we going to make this work? And, this new employee has a lot of great ideas on things to do, but the other members are hesitant to actually kind of move forward with it because what if it doesn't work? But what if it does? Well, if it does, then we have more work, but you want more sales, right? And so when we're looking at that, it's like when we bring in somebody with those new ideas, we want to embrace that. We want to push that because that's going to help us get out of the zone of, oh, we can't make this work. We can't make this happen. We only have 45 days. We can't make this happen. No, but what if you could? If you could, what would you do?
My favorite question. If you didn't know what to do, what would you do?
Yeah.
My favorite question on the planet.
But if you did know what to do, what would you do?
My favorite question to use all the time. It gets you perplexed looks. It gets you the lots of fuck yous along the way because you've double dog dare them in a certain fashion that they didn't want to. They knew the answer, but now you've challenged them to come up with it, and it's the best question ever.
So what else, Brad, would you say in this meeting would people need to do?
So we're starting out with, you know, the agenda, the idea generation, the non-judging, the opportunity, clear communication as to what the objective is, understanding that here's the minimum threshold. Here, the goal might be 100. The minimum threshold might be 92. The stretch might be 106. Be very clear as to why this is important to the folks in the room. Not that, hey, this is important for the company's survival. Why is it important to the people in the room?
That often gets missed.
Why is it important to everybody in that room? Are their jobs really at stake? Is there a problem? Is it really, really there? Or is it, hey, it's important because when we do this with where we're at, we will be the team that's going to be recognized as the opportunity for potential growth and future leadership opportunities. Or we get to take on the new Knutson Valve project because we were able to solve this problem.
Right.
So make it important to them. Do not come in with a threatening situation because then you're operating out of fear and scarcity versus abundance and opportunity.
Yeah. And we can't stress that enough because as a leader, you need your team to go execute, but they're not going to follow you. They really don't have a reason to follow you. And if you're going to threaten them with the job, they're going to be like, okay, great. Then let's do it. Because guess what? Everyone's hiring right now.
And if you're doing it because your bonus is depending upon it, and they know you're doing it because you're worried about your own self-preservation, good luck getting them to follow you with a full heart and opportunity.
Yep. They might do it just to get through it, but guaranteed they're not going to be there much longer. That is a guarantee. That correct. Because of the selfishness, specifically around money, and maybe they get some, maybe they don't. But because of that, and they know it's truly a reward for you financially, why do they care?
Correct.
Why should they even care?
Why do they care that you get to upgrade your BMW or your Mercedes or your whatever, or go to your 3-week vacation to wherever you go, or do all those things because of the bonus structure, whatever your targets are? You need to make sure they understand why they're doing this and what the benefit is for them, not just for your own benefit. Mm-hmm. It is vastly, vastly important.
So this is a good topic. Just from the standpoint of, from a meeting structure to who's involved, the cadence, the responsibilities, and the purpose why. Because the goals are achievable when you can rally the troops around a specific purpose and really handle why should they be dropping everything else, narrowing down focus to hit this target.
Correct. Right. And the other part about this from a leadership viewpoint is that when they achieve the target and when you hit the goal, you as the leader need to be humble enough to give them that praise of success and put yourself in position to say, hey, you know what? I failed you for the first 10 months out of the year for losing focus and keeping us on track. And you guys are the ones that really achieved this goal. Not me, but you. And let success be theirs. And your failure was the first 10 months. Their success was the last two.
Yep. It's a great topic today, Brad.
That'll go a huge long way. So here we are, end of the year. Go get shit done. Stay focused. Keep the eye on the prize and stay focused and rally the troops. Get done what you can get done. Be realistic and don't do it for selfish reasons. Do it for the right reasons.
That's right. LFG, let's fucking go.
See you, sir.
We'll see ya.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.